Sister Lindsay was walking all over my message, but that's okay. You were warming up the crowd. That always works out. I'm not going to give the title of my message right off the bat. This is something that the Lord gave me two Sunday mornings ago. As we were sitting in service, and this is a message that the Lord spoke to me. And it usually happens when somebody else is preaching. But Pastor was on his message, and as I was looking for his text, this just hit me right in between the eyes, and I thought, Lord, I'm trying to understand what you're trying to give me. So let me begin by reading my text. My text is going to be found in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 22. So my text is a long chapter. Maybe it's not that long to some people, depending on what your physical condition is tonight. So we can stand for the reading of the words. Psalm 103, beginning with verse 1. Verse 1, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind path is over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments, to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace and mercy, dear God. We thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity to be here tonight, Father, to minister your word, Father God, to be, Lord God, in this country of freedom that allows us to stand here, to sit here, Father, to expound on your word, Father, to learn more, Father God, to get spiritual blessings, Father, to be touched, Lord God. That still gives us the opportunity, Father, to reach out to you in mercy, Lord God, and the grace you extend to this nation, to this church, to this body of believers. We're grateful, Lord Jesus. We thank you, dear God, for your hand of protection upon each and every one that is here, Father. We thank you, dear God, for your many blessings, Lord God. For you, dear God, are still an awesome God. And your Son, Jesus Christ, is still on his throne. No matter what we face, no matter what we'll go through, your Son, Jesus Christ, sits on his throne, Lord God, and looks at the heart of every man, woman, and child in this place tonight, Father. Dear God, we thank you. We worship and praise you, and we invite you into this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The book of Psalms. It's a collection of thoughts. It's a collection of praises. It's centered around the one true God. You know that all the book of Psalms, they paint a whole picture of Jesus Christ. You know, they're a guideline. If man were to depend on a set of books, it would be the book of Psalms, because it has so much and it paints a picture of Jesus Christ. A coming, a Savior, someone who extends mercy, someone who extends grace. All this in a collection of books. Here's a commentary I came across, which is really interesting. And it goes like this. David was a penman of most of the Psalms, but some evidently were composed by other writers, and the writers of some are doubtful, but all were written by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And no part of the Old Testament is more frequently quoted or referenced to in the New. Every psalm either points directly to Christ in his person, his character, and offices, or may lead the believer's thoughts to him. And the psalms are the language of the believer's heart, whether mourning for sin, thirsting after God, or rejoicing in him. Whether burdened with affliction, struggling with temptation, or triumphing in the hope or enjoyment of deliverance, whether admiring the divine perfections, thanking God for his mercies, meditating on his truths, or delighting in his service, they form a divinely appointed standard of experience by which we may judge ourselves. Their value in this view is very great, and the use of them will increase with the growth of the power of true religion in the heart. By the psalmist's expressions, the Spirit helps us to pray. If we make the psalms familiar to us, whatever we have to ask at the throne of grace, by way of confession, petition, or thanksgiving, we may be assisted from thence. Whatever devout affection is working in us, holy desire or hope, sorrow or joy, we may here find words to clothe it. Sound speech which cannot be condemned. In the language of this divine book, the prayers and praises of the church have been offered up to the throne of grace from age to age. Matthew Henry, 17:10. You know, church, when you consider the book of Psalms, we think of it from the very first book to the very last book. How many people have read all the Psalms? Hopefully most of you have. At one time in your life, if you've had a Christian experience and you've been in the church for so many years, at one point, you should have at least have read the Psalms from the very first to the very last. If not, you may want to start reading them tonight. The very first Psalm, Psalm 1, goes like this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly should not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalm 1. Psalm 1 refers to man and that relationship man has with God. Jump all the way to the end of Psalm. Psalms 150 goes like this. A very short one too. Six verses as well. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And that's the way it ends. That's the very last sentence in Psalms. Praise ye the Lord. We go from the blessing of man to the praises of God. But here's my point tonight, church, and it's going to be the title of my message. The title of my message is Psalm 151. Psalm 151. And you're saying, Brother Larry, you only go up to Psalm 150. I'm talking about something that we as a church have got to experience, something that we as a church have got to do. Psalm 151. Point tonight, church, is that something needs to continue. The book of Acts continues. The book of Acts was a description, the Acts of the Apostles. But church, what are we tonight? Group of believers, just like the apostles. The book of Acts has to continue. And I hear tonight declare, church, that the Psalms did not stop. But someone has to write them. Psalm 151. And who is going to write them, church? It is not going to be someone with the greatest command of the English language or the King James language. It is going to be every person in this place tonight. Psalm 151. You know, when we jump, I'm going to jump over to John chapter 21, verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself cannot contain the books that should be written. Amen. Church, that's telling me that there's more sermons to preach. That God is so awesome. You know, many times I've heard, church, that a lot of the sermons have been just regurgitated. We preach them over and over and over. That every sermon in the world has been preached. I'm here to differ with that. And reason is because of the scriptures telling me that Jesus Christ did more things that we don't even, that aren't even in this book. And I'm thinking, if there are more things, that means that there's other things we should be preaching about. There's other things that we should be looking for, seeking. And you know what, church? Just like Paul, God is willing to reveal those things to us tonight. But are we willing to open that curtain and look in? But it all comes down to this, church. Church is the church of now. Now is the time, church. Now is the time. It's time to write a new song based not on history and our, but on our experiences. We need it. God expects it. We need to write it, church, tonight. You know, as we went back to New Mexico, I had the opportunity to preach out there. And it made me think, as coming through, up through the many, many years and opportunities to preach the Word of God, it really made me think, you know, church, every day we're given an opportunity for grace. We're giving a lot of opportunities. Even tonight, church. You know, tonight, I want you to consider tonight, you know, we talk about I was being prepared. We prepare with testimonies. Be prepared. And one of the things God has impressed on me, because I heard this many, many years ago from a couple of ladies, some pillars of the church that are in their 80s or 90s, and we got to speak to them for a little bit. And I remember one of them specifically telling me, stuck with me, because it affects me as a musician. You know? And actually, a pastor years ago, the same thing. You know, church, you don't come to church and expect and ask God's and expect God to give you His blessing if you haven't prayed about it. If you're not in prayer, church, if you are not seeking God's face, anything you do is not going to have that blessing or that certification by God, church. Anything we do, you know, and God is looking for people that have spent time with Him before we get here. And we think about that, church, us as a congregation. Look around, church. There's not a lot of people left that want to come to church on a Sunday round. Who's left in this congregation? It's the people that continue hunger, that have a desire to be here tonight. Many opportunities are given to many people to be here tonight. And if they don't take the opportunity, that's not on us. It's on them. It's between them and their God. But I'm here to say, church, that God is wanting us to write a new psalm. And it is going to be written by a remnant of people that decide that they want to put something together that God can say. Because you know what, church? The psalms are eternal. The psalms will last forever. But God is saying, I got the psalms up to 150. That got you through. Now I want to develop a new psalm, Psalm 151. Church, are we up to it? Can we do it? Church, we need it. God expects it. We need to write it, church. We need to write that new psalm. As we cross over the Jordan, before we cross the Jordan, as we take the promised land, as we part the sea that stands in our way, as we tell the storms to be still, as we blow the horns, God is saying we need to write it now. Church, it needs to be written now. It can't be written weeks and months ago. It's now. Because, church, if we rely on the experience of our forefathers, the last time I preached about the measure of a man. And many times, God was asking, where are your fathers? Where are your prophets? Because He was looking at a people that had forgotten. A people that had said, maybe we've forgotten what our fathers taught us. Or maybe our fathers didn't teach us. But I'm here to tell you, church, you know enough. You know enough to get on and to continue to go on that path. And God is saying, I need someone to write a new psalm. Church, we need to live it. We need to write it. We need to live it. As we bring fire from the sky, as a time for unmeasured faith, as we're led by the pillar of fire by night, as we're led by a cloud during the day, as we fill this place with His glory, as we gather hosts, as we gather pots to collect the unmeasured oil, as we face a time to face not only the giant of our lives, but his army. You know what, church? Sometimes we're concerned with one giant. God is saying, it's time to face the whole army. And God is saying, I will give it to you. I will give you the measure. I will give you the oil. Just bring out as many pots as you can. As many pots as you want to fill with the oil. God is saying, how many pots do you want to bring out? If you limit God, you limit yourself. Then we complain later on in our lives. Because God is saying, I am needing people who are willing to go the extra mile. So you can be measured a lot more than people would think. How far can you go? We need to share it. Now, church. Now, the church now. Now is the time to pray and raise the dead. Now is the time to heal somebody. Now is the time to walk on water. Now is the time to heal the sick. Now is the time to open the stopped ears. Now is the time to write a new song. Now is the time to sing a new song. Now is the time for healing of diabetes. Now is the time, church. Now is the, but you know what, church? Distractions in our lives. God is saying, I want someone to write it. I need a new psalm. Are we willing to put a new psalm out there? We prepare for it. Now as we spend time in prayer, we prepare for it. Now as we use the house of God for fellowship with God more than the fellowship of man. And in the church, I'm going to step on some toes here. But church, when we come into the house of God, it should be a house of prayer. We should find ourselves on our knees before the service starts. We should find ourselves reaching out to God. If we want to experience the Shekinah glory, if we want to be able to write a Psalm 151 that talks about the glory that filled this place, church, it starts with us coming into the house of God in a time of prayer, spending time in prayer, and asking God, come and meet us in this place, Lord. Because many times we do say this in our testimonies. We come out and we'll say, Lord, we thank you for meeting us here. And many times God says, I was already there. You just didn't feel me. Many times God is saying, I was already present. But you guys, many of you weren't looking for me. Church, I know tonight, and it's kind of funny, we think about the food in the kitchen. I went to get some water. And I paused for a second because I smelled everything. And I thought, that is the biggest distraction because we feed our flesh. And we do, yeah. Now, thanks, Brother Lucas, yeah. And we do that. We start to think, God is saying, I want to feed you with something more. But I want to feed you, get into the house of God. During praise and worship, you know, church, all today. A lot of struggles. A lot of things have crossed my mind. You know, this trip was great. Vacation is great. Let me tell you, we all got to do it. You know, get away from, put the phone away. Don't read your emails. And you know, church, it helps when you can focus on what's really important. You know, church, you put everything away. And out there, I could focus and just really think. The situation of lost loved ones. Church, while we were in our community, where we grew up, my wife and I, and I'm not sure this is correct, in that week there was three suicides, drug overdoses, I guess. It's really bad stuff, church. And it's affecting the little community that has a smaller, maybe half the size of population of Chelsea, maybe about the same size, I'm not sure. And I think, what is going on here? I ran into a man, we were out fishing, and I'll tell you this quick story. To a man that I used to be on the school board with. And I spoke to him, and we went back and forth. We exchanged pleasantries, and we started discussing the situation in the community. And he basically told me, he goes, I've been out of touch since I got off the school board. You know, he started talking to me about the success of his kids and where they're at, where they're going to college, or what they're doing, and this and that. And he started talking about the community, what he's heard. And I said, well, I've only been here less than 3 or 4 days, and I've heard a lot worse has gone on. And he says, I don't know what we need. And I said, you know what this community needs? Is hope. Because to me, hope is Jesus Christ. And you know what? His eyes lit up. He says, you're right. That's what we need. Ran into another person that was also on the school board at the time that I was on the school board. And she referenced coming to visit her her son, who's in prison in Oklahoma, who got caught trafficking drugs here in Oklahoma, taking him back to New Mexico. And he got caught. And I started speaking to her. I just asked him, where's your son? And she comes over spilling the beans, you know, about what he had done and what he's experienced. You know, he went from being abused by a Catholic priest to selling drugs, I mean to doing drugs, to selling drugs, and then getting caught. Now he's in prison. She's not sure how long he's going to serve. But she said something. She goes, you know, she goes, since he's been in there, he's changed. It's like he's gotten closer to the Lord. And so that gave me an opportunity to start talking to her about it. Although a very, very Catholic woman, but she understood that there is something out there. Something out there, church. And that's part of writing Psalm 151. There's going to be an experience we're going to have to write about. And as I thought about this young man, you know, what I told her was, there are more people imprisoned in this community than your son in that. Your son is a lot freer now than these people that are roaming the streets. And church, that's a fact. God is saying, you know, I want someone with an experience to begin to write Psalm 151. Can we do it, church? We spend time in prayer. With everything we do, whether we preach, whether we lead the service, whether we sing, whether I play my instrument, it's so important. Because, church, we don't know who's walking in that back door. We don't know who's going to come in affected by it. If someone walks in and feels the very presence of God Almighty, there's a pretty good chance they are going to get fed. They are going to be convicted. They are going to stay. Not that we're looking for numbers. God is looking for numbers. We're just looking for someone we can reach out to and help. But church, here's a question that I had to ask myself. And it's a hard question. Can I write a new psalm based on my experiences? Will it be enough? If I had to publish a psalm based on my experiences with God, how many verses deep would it be? How many verses could I write about my experiences? Would we end it at verse 3 and that's it, we're done? And that's usually maybe 10 words or less? Think about that. Because, you know, church, every flip on me, I have to think, if I had to write something on my experiences, what could it be? You know, I went to visit the co-op where I worked before. And I thought about with for years, 14 and a half years. I was working with many people there. I went over there, saw the business manager. He's going to retire at the end of this year. He's been there over 40 years. The man actually gave me a hug. I saw the supervisor of the meter that I had hired there many, many years ago. He came up to me. He's my age. He gave me a hug. You know, David, the supervisor who reported to me, came up and gave me a hug. You know, they were thrilled to see me, and it was a good feeling because they see something different. And that church, I thank God that I haven't changed. I'm still the same person, and they still see that same person. But church, can I write a psalm based on that? Can I write a Psalm 151 based on that experience? We went out to dinner, and I'm giving you some of these little tidbits. Went out to dinner and ran into my high school basketball. And he retired years ago. But there's something about this basketball coach really interesting. I think he's 6'7". Extremely tall man. And I ran into him in the restaurant and greeted me. He even gave me a hug. You know, this guy is way up there. Nicest guy. And I talked to him. He asked me where we were at. The question was, how long will it be before he returned to Cuesta? Well, I mean, I'd have to retire if it's the time, decide to come back. I still have 9 more years. And his parting words to me is, you know, we really need you out here. And made me think, you need me for what? Leadership? And God was speaking to me. Because the pastor of the church, Pastor Smith, made the same comment to me. And he said, brother, how long do you have to retire before you can come out here and take my place? Because I'm looking for somebody who shares my same vision and who believes the way I to take my place, because I can't be here forever. He's getting older and older. It made me think, God, you know, you create, you move the circumstance. You do so many things that we don't even understand. But like I said, only God can open those doors, church. No, I'm not going anywhere. So if everyone starts thinking, either panicking or clapping. But what I'm saying, I say that to say this, church, is that God is speaking to us. That your testimony out there, people are reading it. And you have left a legacy behind. As I mentioned before, when you die, that little hyphen's going to have to mean something, church. It's the measure of a man. It's going to have to mean something. And if you're still being measured by something that you left behind, church, and it's something good, that's the beginning of writing a new Psalm 151, church. Church, continuing my questions to myself, Psalm 151, if I read it, if I wrote it myself, and if I read it, how deep would it be? Would I have any depth to what I've experienced? If I write my oral testimony, would it be worthy of reading? If I wrote down every testimony I have stood for, or every testimony that I have come up here and testified, it'd be a repeat. Some of you young boys testified the same way every Sunday, the same words, nothing changed. And for everybody else in here, how much reading, how far in your reading would you get before you'd say, you know, this psalm is pretty dry. God is looking for someone that's going to add to the book of Psalms. Because you know, church, we're all there. All of us are there. Would it be worth repeating? And this was really interesting this morning when Brother Jason was teaching. Really gave me food for thought. Am I a Saul or am I a Paul? Do I need to be blind to see, or am I blind through seeing eyes? You know, church, we talk about religion. Saul had religion, but he was blind. You know, and Paul was blind for 3 days. And Paul lost religion. He gained relationship. What do we have in our personal lives? Am I a Saul or am I a Paul? Who am I? And I think Pastor Pepper mentioned this morning, sometimes, you know, many times we can't go just on emotion. You know, sometimes we have to really think this thing through. Think about who Jesus Christ is. You know, many times we say that women are more emotional than men, you know, during a church service. And I've heard stuff, even statistics, where people saying that sometimes men are more emotional. They just bury it really deep. Men will not display their emotions. And there was a question that was asked in the little, in part of our Sunday school lesson, which I thought was interesting. It was talking about, you know, the gangster who decided that he was going to go to church and get saved. But he wanted to be a Christian mobster. Can you be, you know, you got Christian football players. You got, you know, you got Christian athletes. Why can't a Christian gangster, Christian mobster, you know? But then I thought, are we Christian Christians? Think about that. Are we Christians Christians? Many times we go by name. Sometimes we try to go by thought, emotion. You know what? I go to church. I wear a button-up shirt. When I come to preach, I always wear a tie. I wear a jacket. So I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian Christian. God is saying, that's not enough to write a psalm. That is not enough to write a psalm. God is saying, I want someone who is willing to write a psalm. John 4:23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. John 5:25, verily, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, John 12:31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. God is giving us so many opportunities and grace and saying, I've already loaded you up for this warfare. But you got to be willing to go after the giants and his army. John 18:36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. Romans 13:11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You know, church, many times the church is in a spiritual sleep. We've taken it for granted that God is going to allow us, God is going to get us through. And we throw out these measly prayers and we say things are going to be okay. And God is saying, that's not enough to write a new psalm. That is not enough to write a new psalm. You young boys are going to have to develop an experience with God. A true experience. You're not able to rely on the experience of any other men in this church other than your own experience. The young girls, everyone, we're all going to have to rely on the experience we have with Jesus Christ himself. Because God is looking for someone that is willing to pen Psalm 151. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, Romans 16:26, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Colossians 1:26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to all his saints. 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profiteth little. And we know we need bodily exercise, some of us. Modestly, you know, we all do. Me included. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Church, if you think about the fact that God keeps using the term now and now, he is talking about this church now. Church, it's this generation, it's this age that's going to have to do it. It's our young boys that are going to have to arise and stand for the things of God. They're going to have to stand for the things of purity. They're going to have to stand for the things of godliness. It is our young ladies that are going to have to arise and stand for the things of purity and what is godly. You know, we have many teachings on many characters in the Bible. Back in the New Mexico Sunday School, we were talking about a virtuous woman. And you know, church, you know where a virtuous woman starts? It starts with a virtuous little girl. It starts with a little girl that is brought up to be virtuous. That girl, little girl that is not exposed to sin. A little girl that is not exposed to those elements that this world is willing to take and destroy. A godly young man, where does he begin? Godly man begins as a godly little boy. And God is saying, these are the people I need to begin to write a psalm. These are the people that I need to write the next book, the next chapter. But church, are we willing? Are we willing? Who is willing? Everything is about now and not left to chance. This is what chance is. Let me give you a chance. Let me give you a good example of chance, church. We went fishing, and I cast my line out, and I hooked a lure. How do you hook a hook? I brought in a lure. I bring in by the string. I actually hooked it by its eyelet. What are the chances, church, of that happening? That is chance. That is chance. That it's at the right place, at the right time. But God is not a God of chance. God is a God of opportunity. Hey guys, hey boys, if you guys will listen up, because some of this sermon is, understand? The things of God aren't to be meddled with. Many times in the church, and we think that sometimes we can kind of get away with some stuff, and God is saying, enough is enough. If you don't have what it takes to write the next psalm, you know what's going to happen, church. You need to be part of that group that wants to write the next psalm. And I don't mean to get on the boys and beat the stuff on them, but you know what? I expect these are going to be our leaders. And they need to understand that the things of God, we are getting too close to the end. We are getting too close to the end of time. The world is playing games, and the games are getting harder and deadlier. I just came from a community where ODs have taken place. People are dying. People are dying, and if the things of God aren't, we're not taking the things of God as serious as we should, the church, we need to spend more time at the altar. It is time, church, to be able to write a psalm. We go out fishing for people. What do I offer as bait? Superficial dressing? Church, what can I put in the new psalm? Sometimes we want to attract people by what we think they need. Maybe we need to give them what God wants to give them. Many times, church, we want to give them what we think is the proper etiquette to come into this church. Brother Lucas has shared a man and his family come in this church. And church, are we going to judge him by what he looks like? Let God do the cleanup. You just be the support mechanism that God is looking for. You be part of that writer of Psalms 151 that says, we took this man in. Because what if this is going to be the next evangelist that comes out of this community? It's not going to be me. It's not going to be Brother Lucas, Brother Jason. We're going to be the support. What if there's going to be another young man that comes out and just gets on fire for God? And maybe puts us to shame. And that'll be good for us because maybe we need to wake up. But I want you to think about that. What if that next person or his wife is given the gift of healing? And for someone that has diabetes or has cancer. Church, in the church in Arroyo Hondo, we had one young lady that got up to testify, not young lady, she's older than I am. She got up to testify and say that she got healed of cancer. And she says, and the doctor, when he got the report back and says, your report's clear. And she said, let me tell you what it is. It's God's healing. And he kind of wanted to go back and forth with it, but she says it's God's healing. That's what I believe. Well, you need another follow-up appointment. And she testifies. She goes, you know where I'm going for a follow-up? Not for the doctor, because I know I'm healed. I'm going to go talk to those nurses, because there were some nurses. There were some people that can't believe that I'm healed. So if you use that as a testimony, she can write a new psalm and say, you know what? It's a new book of Psalms. I'm going to talk about healing of cancers. I'm going to talk about healing of diabetes. I'm going to talk about people that were raised from the dead. Children that have died that have been raised from the dead. I'm talking about God's divine protection. God is saying simply, just some said, do it and write the new psalm. God is looking for an experience and an expectation and not excuses and experimentation. You know, church, God is looking for an experience and an expectation and not excuses and experimentation. God is looking for a commitment and communication and not selfishness and silence. What writes the book of Psalms is the heart of God. And church, we need the heart of God to be able to write, to begin writing the book of Psalms. You know, church, last time I mentioned in my preaching Gomer, who wandered away from the prophet in Hosea. And it made me think, because God was asking me this question, the prophet or are you Gomer? Are you Gomer? Did you walk away from God? Are you playing the harlot in the church? It really made me cringe. Because you know what that means? If I'm playing that role, church, I'm backsliding. And in church, we got plenty of things to worry about. We got many things that come into our minds that affect us daily. But many times we have to just, and my wife corrected me on something today. We were discussing something, and she's told me several times, the Lord in prayer. And she's absolutely right. And I say that because struggle, church, because many times we try to be logical, as pastors talked about. We try to think things through. How is this going to work out, God? And I keep thinking, God, you already worked. But God, I think I can help you with this. I think there's something else I can offer. God says, let me work it out, and then you can write a psalm about it. You can add it to Psalm 151 when you're done. We're too close to the end, church. I want to read a new psalm. I want to experience a new psalm. And I want to be part of a new psalm. But what does all require? Sacrifice. And commitment. Are we willing to sacrifice tonight, church? What are we willing to sacrifice? You know, many years ago, church, when I moved out here, biggest sacrifice I made was tearing roots out of a job and leaving a family behind. I'm talking about our extended families, my parents, my wife's parents, everything we knew that was familiar. We came out here. And you think, that's sacrifice. But God is saying, there's a reason why I do things. The many, many things that God wants us to do, and sometimes we struggle with just one thing. How are we going to be able to accomplish so much in our lives? God is saying, in order to be able to write a new psalm, I am wanting someone that is willing to do all these things. And if you fail, God is going to pick you up. Because if you fail trying for your Lord Jesus Christ, there's a pretty good chance you're not going to fail. If you think you're going to fail, you'll fail. Jesus Christ will always give you success. Many times we base our lives and our situations based on failure instead of successes. God is saying, it's time for sacrifice. What are we willing to do? When we left church, and I think about this, and I go back. Now we were visiting back there, and I keep thinking, wow, the awesomeness of God. We could stand out there in that cool night and look at the stars a lot closer. The Milky Way was so clear, and I thought, this God that just spoke at this expanse, this universe, we can't even comprehend. This is the same God that knows on a certain night that I'm standing out there looking up into the heavens. It's the same God who says, you want to write a psalm? Maybe you need to write about the expanse of heaven. And then write about your experience with me and what you've done for that child you've worked with, or for that neighbor you prayed for, or for that person that God healed. It's time to write a psalm. I want to conclude with this thought, church. As we live, as we witness, we are writing the words to the final psalm. We're all part of the triumph and the celebration, the praise and the worship, the final light of God's creation. Do you realize that, church? We are the final light of God's creation. Because there's no one else that's going to shine the light brighter for God. And there's no person more evil that's going to come and destroy, like Satan, that's going to come and try and put that light out. But church, there's just one more light left in God's creation. And that's it's the church of Jesus Christ. And God is saying, you know, I want you to write a new psalm tonight. I stated before, the psalm is about Jesus Christ and his lordship. Ephesians 3:11 goes like this, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me leave you all with this question. Can I really write a new psalm with who I am? I want you to think about that, church. If somebody comes to the piano, I want you to think about that. We sing about that. We sing about the blood. We sing about the lordship of Jesus Christ. There's many new songs that have been written, many psalms, many even old hymns that have been written. But God is looking for the songs of the heart. God is looking for someone that is going to take their experiences and experiences now and do something with it. Because a new psalm has to be written, church. Tonight, a new psalm has got to be written because the time is now. There's many people that are leaving this earth. And many sermons ago, I gave statistics on how many people die every minute, according to statistics. Church, those are nameless people to us. We'll never know them. There's people dying out there that we'll never know. Someone would have inscribed a psalm in their heart what they've had an opportunity to live. Church, we want to be able to live forever with Jesus Christ. We want to have that experience. But church, that psalm needs to be written. And it's just not for us. It's because there's someone else out there that is going to read it. Someone is reading the psalm in your life. And tonight, church, it's time to find a beginning to your psalm. Psalm 151. Think about it, church. Because God is looking for someone that is willing to read it. Someone who's willing to write it. Someone who is going to put their life into it, and someone who's going to sacrifice for it. Think about it, church. Psalm 151, Pastor.
Amen. Could we all stand together?